Awesome. Thank you for that, Ms. Juanita. Aren't you glad that you're a part of the family? Amen. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He doesn't have any favorites. Did you know that? Everybody, when you're redeemed, you're His precious children, and He loves you. The Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love He hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." And so there are no strangers if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no division, and that He looks at us and loves us all the same. Amen? I'm thankful for that. I want you to find the book of Nehemiah, and it's one of those smaller books that sometimes a little hard for people to find. If you'll open your Bible, it'll fall open you about to the book of Psalms in the middle. And if you'll go back toward the book of Genesis, go back to the left, and you'll go back and you'll see from Psalm, you'll see Job, and then you'll see the book of Esther, and then you'll come there to the book of Nehemiah in just a few moments. In the book of Nehemiah, we're going to look. We're studying this month, we're emphasizing Bible study. How many of you got your Bible? Hold your Bible up. You got your Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Sing this with me. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Amen. We love the Word of God. Say amen. Amen. This is the Bible. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And I was thinking, so many friends love me and talk to me and tell me I need to slow down this, that, and the other. And I try to. That's just the way I am, you know. But I'm not so much concerned about my business health-wise as my business spiritually speaking. I certainly don't want to be so busy, and none of us, busy with occupation or with education or with family or anything else, that we neglect the Word of God. We've absolutely got to have it. And that's what Brad was talking about Wednesday night. I talked about reading the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you. Now, in the last few weeks, as I've been praying and studying and preparing toward this month, I've got under deep conviction. Because I can remember a day in my early ministry, and Regina can testify to that. I was in a revival the other week, and every time the preacher would say something, he said, "My wife would tell you that's the truth." And I don't know if he thought that people didn't believe nothing he said, they trusted her or not. But I do remember, particularly in my early ministry, I'd study from early in the morning till about noon every day, and just in the Word of God. Not necessarily to preach, but just studying, because I had such an appetite. I wanted to know the truth of the Word of God. And then when the Lord called me to preach and I started to go to Lewisburg Junior College, I listened all the way there and all the way home to Bible teaching on the radio. And it was such a blessing. But sometimes you get so busy and you're trying to minister out things that you don't take enough in. And so that's my concern about me and for all of us, that we must have the Word of God. We need it desperately. In the book of Nehemiah, you remember the story that I have preached on it a good many times. Maybe here, I'm not sure, but I preached a message on building the wall. God's people were brought into the promised land of Israel. And He said, if you'll trust me, and if you'll hear my word and obey my word, I'll bless you and I'll prosper you. And I've given you this land flowing with milk and honey, and you'll be here forever and ever and ever if you'll obey my word, hear and obey my word. But they wouldn't do that. They got away from the Word of God. They began to live lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. Everything He told them not to do, that's what they did. The things that He told them to do, they wouldn't do. They neglected the assembly together, and they even quit doing sacrifices and all those type of things. And then after David, Solomon held the kingdom together and built the temple and everything else. But then after Solomon, it completely split. And 10 tribes, there were 12 tribes of Israel, 10 tribes to the north, they separated. And then Rehoboam, the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they're around Jerusalem. They made Samaria the capital up north and under Jeroboam. And then he said, "It's too much for you to go back down there to worship. You don't need to go down there and hear the Word of God. You don't need to go back down to the temple. And we'll do everything up here." Gave them a convenient religion. And they turned away from God, and God kept His word. He said, the Assyrian army And he took that whole northern kingdom into captivity. And then the southern kingdom, the prophets of the Old Testament came to them as they did to the northern kingdom. And they would say, look what happened to your sister in the north. Don't follow them. And you're going down the wrong path. They too were turning away from the Word of God and doing away with the Word of God. And so they wouldn't listen either. And then God sent the Babylonians and took them all into captivity. But he did promise that after a period of time that he'd bring them back. And so when you come to the Word of God, in close to where I'm at now, God had raised up a king named Cyrus, Persian king, and he allowed him to go back. And under Ezra and Zerubbabel, a remnant came back into the promised land, and they rebuilt the temple, and Ezra began to institute worship once again. But then it lagged. And for 14 years, it just kind of declined again. You know, they were hard-headed. They were Baptists, I guess. But they God would bless them, and they would get right with God. God would bless them. They'd worship Him. Next thing you know, they were serving idols again and out there again. And so that's what happened. And so Nehemiah, then God burdened his heart. He'd heard that the walls were still not repaired after 14 years. And he came back and rebuilt the wall. And the Bible says they rebuilt the wall all the way around Jerusalem in 52 days. And what an amazing feat. And then it says this, that their enemies were much discouraged, distraught, because they saw that this was a work wrought of God. They saw God do that. Well, now the wall has been completed, and we come to chapter number 8. And the people see what God's done. They were part of it, but they see what God's done. But they understand that having a building, the temple's not enough. Having protection with the wall was not enough. They had to have something more than that. And so in chapter number 8, notice what it says. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning to midday before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip verse 4 primarily because it's got all those big words in it, those big names. And if Brother Gary was preaching, I might have to have a reader get him pronounce all those names for me. It looks like there ought to be a few Johns and Peters and Pauls in there somewhere, but those are huge names. But these were the priests that were there. And then notice down at verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people said, amen and amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Look at the last phrase of verse 7. And these preachers, these priests, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And listen, notice what it says in verse 10. Well, let me read verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirsalite, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, the Levites, taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy the Lord unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, neither weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know why they were weeping? They were weeping because they were deeply convicted. But he was feeding them the word of God. And he said unto them, go ye your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stood, stilled all the people and said, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be you grieved. For all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief priests and fathers and all the people and priests and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to them that understood the law. Listen, and it says this, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. I'm going to leave off the reading there. I want us to bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, our Father, that's in this wonderful book that we hear the greatest love story ever told. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And our Father, we testify as Juanita sang, there was a time when we were strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But Lord, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and the truth of the gospel, you've saved us. You've made us children of the King and part of the family of God. And Lord, I'd pray that this morning for every boy, every girl, every man, every woman in this building, that God, the Holy Spirit, would do that for them. And Father, I pray, Father, that Lord, you'd give this congregation and this preacher a new zeal, a new appetite for the Word of God. I pray, our Father, you'll bathe us with it. I pray, our Father, you'll saturate our soul with it. In it, we'll learn to fear the Lord. In it, we'll see our sin. In it, we'll see the solution to our sin, and we'll receive light, direction for our path. And God, I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God, help us to understand that it's through the Word of God that we grow in faith and in love and in commitment. It's through the Word of God that we are armed. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I pray, God, Lord, you'd forgive us for being neglectful, for not spending as much time in the Word of God as we spend before the television, for not spending as much time in the Word of God as we do in other literature. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us to be hearers of the Word and to understand the Word. And then, Lord, that you would bless us to be able to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Victor Hugo said of England one time, England had two great books. One was Shakespeare. The other was the Bible. He said that England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England. And that was testified many years ago. But since then, England has forsaken not church, but the Bible. They've turned their hearts away from the truth of the Word of God. They want an accommodating religion that would accommodate the common man and those things that were offensive, like the cross and the blood and those things should be forgotten. The truths of the Word of God that cause division should be forgotten. I remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I've come, Lord, not to kill, but to heal. But he also said that he would divide. He said, Father, I've given you them your word. Therefore, the world hates them. And though people of the word, people of the book are hated by the world, they will never accept us. They will never love us. We're going to be different until we are changed forever. And that day's coming very soon now. But the thing is, people will not be changed by religion. They can only be changed through the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings conviction. It's the Word of God that shows Christ. You and I cannot grow. Fellowship grows out of our attraction to Christ and our knowing Him and the truth of the Word of God. Fellowship grows out of that. But if you have fellowship apart from the Word of God, you don't have anything. It all has to be based on the Word of God. And in this passage of Scripture, here we notice that they have now come to the place when they understand that. I was looking back at some things I'd written down in days gone by. Daniel Webster said of our Pilgrim Fathers, they brought the Word of God with them. And the free and the universal reading of the Word of God brought about their right view of civil liberties. The reason the colonists have a right concept of what a democracy is and right living is because they knew the Word of God. It was based on the Word of God. President Woodrow Wilson made this statement years ago. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelation of the Holy Scriptures. He believed that America was here to live out a Christian, a righteous life as shown in the Word of God. And it's only that. Israel made the Word of God what they were. And you'll notice in history that whenever Israel turned from the Word of God, their nation declined. And you can trace it in any other nation of the world. As long as they look to the Lord and they trust the Lord. When a nation gets away from the Word of God, loving the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, they lose the blessings of God. And that's true in an individual as well. We've got to have God's touch on us. We need to have the presence of God on us, or else we'll not have the blessing of the Lord. Just a few things I want to note quickly in this passage of Scripture as we come here. You'll notice that they responded to the Word of God. And in this passage of Scripture, there's some things that are essential for me and you. First of all, I want you to notice that in this passage of Scripture, there are six times that uses the word understand or understood, understanding. In verse 2, the word understanding, and it all came together who had understanding of the Word of God. In verse number 3, it says, and that they the men and women and those that could understand and the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. They understood the Word of God. And then again, if you drop down a little bit further and look in your Bible here in verse number 7 and 8, again, in verse 7, the word understand, people to understand the law. And then in verse 8, it says, so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused the people to understand the reading of the Word of God. That's why we come together, so that God's Holy Spirit will teach us all the Word of God. It's not enough to be able to just repeat the Word of God. You need to understand the Word of God. Verses 12 and 13, once again, it said, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words. And then it says in verse number 13, in the latter part, even to understand the words of the law. And six different times he talks about understanding the Word of God. You need to understand it, not just know what it says, but to understand the Word of God, make the sense of it. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Brother Bill, I've been reading something, I don't understand it. And I know what they're talking about because I've done the same thing many, many times. I've gone through the Word of God. But as you study the Word of God, God helps you with the understanding of the Word of God. Brother Roy Rigdon went down to preach a funeral for a family member in Florida this past week. And he said he ran into an elderly lady there. She's in her 90s now. And he remembered her being a Sunday school teacher years ago. And she loved the Word of God. And she instilled in him, and he's 76, instilled in him a desire for the Word of God, a Sunday school teacher. And that lady is 90-something years old. She still loves the Lord. She still, and she talked. And they got to talking, you know, as people do about our nation. And she said, Brother Roy, what we need is a revival of the Word of God in America and in our churches. And she's right. We need a revival of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's where the power's at. The power's not in our programs, it's in the Word of God. God blesses His Word. He said, my Word will not return void. That's what it is. And thank God, the Word of God, you understand it. You come to that place where you understand the Word of God. Notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. And as they brought the Word of God in and as they brought it back, it says that they brought the Word of God in on the first day of the seventh month. Now, this God orchestrates not only the gathering, but He orchestrates the timing of their gathering. They called for the Word of God, and they did it on the first day of the seventh month. If you go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 23, you'll find in there the great feast days of Israel. Well, this one that happened on the seventh month in the first day of the month is called the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we also believe that there's a connection there between that and the return of our Lord. But it also has to do with the sounding of the Word of God. Notice that they met in a particular place, not only a particular date. It was on that first day of the seventh month when they were together for the Feast of Trumpets. But they met before what's called here in your Bible, verse 1, and the people as one man gathered in the street that was before the water gate. And that speaks of the Word of God. That water gate speaks of the Word of God. And when you go through the Bible and you look at that, you'll notice that the Word of God is pictured as the Word of God quite often. And they came, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But that word of God, water, my dear friend, is pictured in that. I'll say more about that in just a few moments. But now notice, not only did they request the word of God, there's something inside of them. It was the Holy Ghost of God that they needed the word of God. They had to have the word of God. But now notice their reverence for the word of God. The Bible says that when they opened the Bible, notice verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. They had built a pulpit, a platform out of wood for him to stand on. And when he opened it, all the people stood. They stood in reverence of the Word of God. They recognized it was the Word of God. They were going to read from what God had said that had been penned down so they could hear the Word of God. They reverenced that word and they recognized that word. Notice if you when you think about this people gathering, they reverenced the word because it was like it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul talks about that church at Thessalonica. He said, you received our words, not as the words of men, but as it was in fact the very word of God. I want you to understand that this is not the words of men. This is the words of God. And when you come to read it, you look at it. I was thinking this morning, I mentioned this before. I've most of the time got a lot of things in my hand, but I never put anything on top of the Bible unless it's absolutely an accident. And there have been times that I did and I realized what I'd done. That's just kind of a little thing I have because I don't think anything ought to be above the Word of God, do you? I don't think there ought to be anything laid on the Bible above the Word of God. It's paramount. It's the Word of God. And we ought to reverence it, recognize it. And notice it says, and in this passage of Scripture, it says this about how they heard the Word of God. It said, and they listened to the Word of God, and they listened intently. Verse 3. And in the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Whenever the Word of God's read and preached, you ought to listen. You'll listen. I don't think I ought to even have to say, now some of you, I know you use your electronic devices. You have your scriptures on your tablet, on your phone. Understand that. But I'm just saying that whenever the Word of God's preached, you need to listen. You need to listen. And it's not Brother Billy. It's not anybody else. It is the Word of God here. And when you hear the Word of God, your purpose to listen intently, to focus your attention on the Word of God. And whenever you come to read the Word of God, you'll have to fight to give full attention to the Word of God. When you come, another little thing I've got is this. If I get my Bible out to read, if I have not just previously done it, a lot of times I'll go wash my hands before I ever read the Word of God. If I have eaten something or had something, and always inhale, but that's just a little thing I've got. But when I come to the Word of God, you approach the Word of God, here's what you do. You say, God, this is your Word. And Lord, this morning I want you to speak to me. And I'm going to listen to what you say. I'm not going to just read the words. I'm not going to just go through and say, I got to read this chapter, this verse, or whatever. I'm going to read it. And I find myself, I'm going through and I'm reading the Word of God, and sometimes my mind is distracted or whatever, and I catch and I pull myself back, and I ask God to forgive me, and I go back and read where I lost train of thought at. Read it again. They listen intently. Their reverence for the Word of God was seen in their standing. And then it was seen in their intent listening. But notice in verse number 6, it says this. It said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face toward the ground. And then it goes on and says that they read the Word of God, and it caused the people to understand the Word of God. Notice this. Before it was ever read, they worshiped, magnified Him. And then they said, amen, amen. Now, here's what they were doing. They were saying, we're about to hear the Word of God. And they said, amen, amen, before it was ever read. And some people say, well, what's that word amen mean? I hear people say amen at Baptist church. Not near as much as want to say amen. Amen. All right. Amen means this. It means this. I agree. I agree. or it is truth. Amen. I agree, or it is truth. But if you put them together, it means this. I agree that this is the truth. And in agreeing that this is the truth, when we read the Word of God and we come and read the Word of God, it means that's true. And if I believe differently than that, it's not true. There are no options. That is not black and white. I mean, it is black and white. It is that you believe it. And they have agreed and they have obligated themselves to whatever they were about to hear. We agree, this is truth, and we will obey. And you need to enter into the Word of God saying, Lord, show me your will. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to do their own thing. I asked you to pray the other week for a young man, 23 years old, who died of an overdose. He was neighbor to our son, Avery. Avery knew him, but he didn't know him that well. He just saw him. But on this day, when he died that afternoon or that evening, Avery had come home at lunch to let his dog out, and the boy was out in the yard. And he talked to the boy. The boy had just come out of a drug rehab thing, and he talked to the boy. He even took him to go buy him some lunch, went and bought him some lunch and came back. And then Avery called us that next day, the next morning or whenever, and said that they'd found the boy dead in his house, 23 years old. And we asked about his family. He said, I don't know anything about his family. He'd run away from home. He'd left home. And the deal was this. He didn't want to live like his mom and daddy. He didn't want to live by the Word of God. I don't know anything about his family, but I know kids. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to live without any restraint. They wanted to live in such a way that they could just do their own thing, not going to do what anybody else says. And my heart saddened. Here's the end of a young boy, 23 years old, who wanted to do his own thing. And that's how he ended up. You and I can say, well, he ought not have done that. But we do the same thing. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to come to the Word of God and say, this is the Word of God. I'm going to do what the Bible says. When it comes to giving, you know, by the Word of God teaches the principle of giving to the Lord. I believe the Word of God teaches that a tenth is a minimum. And he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. But we don't have to do that. We say we don't believe that. You don't have to. You get to. But if you learn that everything you have belongs to the Lord, everything is His, you know. But we said, well, we're going to do our own thing. We can do it our own way. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So much the more as you see the day approaching. But we got a better plan. We're going to spend time here and there and everywhere else other than the house of God. And so we're going to do our own thing. And we neglect the hearing of the Word of God. We neglect the reading of the Word of God. We neglect the receiving of the Word of God, believing of the Word of God, and living the Word of God. And it's going to cost you down the road. It'll cost you. But see, it's not just the exposure to it. It is the understanding of it. They reverenced the Word of God because they stood, because they listened intently, because they agreed ahead of time, we're going to do what the Bible says to do. And notice what it says in this passage of Scripture, chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. There was real unity there. The unity, people talk about diversity in this, that, and the other. But our unity is around one thing, and that is the truth of this book. That's our connection is the Word of God. We are people of the Bible. We believe the book to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and we believe it with all of our heart. We live it, and we ask God to help us to live it. Listen, the Word of God was explained to them. They requested the Word of God. They reverenced the Word of God. But then notice, they received the Word of God. They understood it. They received the Word of God. What you'll find in the latter part of this chapter and on over into chapter number 9 is that when they came to hear the Word of God, that initially Ezra told them, don't weep, don't be sorry. You go rejoice because we've got the Word of God. But as they heard the Word of God, something happened. They learned that they had not been like the Feast of Tabernacles. They had quit doing that, a lot of other things. They began to see from the Word of God what they had not been doing. And as God began to show them where they came short in their life, they repented. So you hear the Word of God, you understand the Word of God, you receive the Word of God, you rejoice in the Word of God, but it brings genuine repentance, real change in your life. I remember praying one time in a revival with T.D. Burgess, and I don't think he was rebuking me, but what he said really spoke to my heart. He didn't say it to me, but I heard him pray later. And I prayed in the beginning of the service, "Lord, just stir us. God, do a work here. Stir us today." And then he prayed in the latter end, but just probably the Holy Ghost, but he prayed it to me. He said, "God, change us today." A lot of difference between being stirred and changed, didn't it? I mean, when God changes, it makes a difference. And the only thing that really brings about genuine change is not emotion. While it is emotion as a part of it, but what brings real change is the Word of God. And you say, you can have a great high service. And it's kind of like, I took Melissa when she was little and I was pastoring in Florida. We went to hear Billy Kelly. I love Billy Kelly, great evangelist. I mean, he was animated. You missed it if you ever never saw him. He weighed about 400 pounds. He was an old Irishman. Had what little bit of hair he had was red. I mean, he could sing high tenor. His face gets so red, it looked like his face was going to erupt when he sang. Great singer. Preach. I mean, preach. He loved the Lord. God saved him out of a wicked background. He was unique. Matter of fact, he came to that big church down there. It's a big independent Baptist church down in Pensacola, Florida, a little stiff, a little stuffy. And I said, "Brother Kelly, why, how in the world they have you down here at this church?" He said, "They bring me in as a novelty." And he knew that. He knew he was a novelty. I'll tell you how novel he was. Sometime he'd go to revival and he'd stick his coon dogs out behind the church. He'd haul them in his car down there and keep his dog with him for the whole week. But anyway, he preached and it was a good service. But Melissa took notes. And she kind of picked up from her daddy, and I do. I listen to every preacher, and try to listen intently, and I take notes. If they're a beginning preacher or a lay preacher or a Sunday school teacher, I try to take notes in our men's fellowship, write down things, because God always speaks to my heart through the Word of God, whoever's speaking. And I write down notes, and I do rather detailed notes of sermons when I hear them preached. And Becky Melissa got to doing the same thing. And so we were going home that night after hearing Brother Billy Kelly preach about an hour, and it was a great service. And I said, "Melissa, how'd you like Brother Kelly?" She said, "Daddy, I really enjoyed him. It was great." And she said, she paused for a few minutes. She had her notebook and her Bible laying there in her lap. And she said, "But you know, Daddy, he didn't say nothing." And I looked over and she wrote Billy Kelly in a text. That's all she had. It wasn't no outline, nothing. But what I'm getting at is this. You listen to the Word of God, but it's not just exposure, it's it getting into your heart and life and changing you. And only the Word of God can change us and make us brand new in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people had a desire for the Word of God, and they understood that though they had a church building, they had the temple rebuilt, although they had the wall, that the one thing that they needed more than anything else was the Word of God. And we've got to be people of the Word. Now, I want you to just look across America. Look at, if I say to you, great preachers that you think about, who you think about? You think about Charles Stanley. And in this generation, you think about Charles Stanley. Of course, he's a lot of exposure, everything. But you know what? If you listen to Charles Stanley, you know what he does? He teaches the Word of God. And the reason there's such a fight, and I'll just say this, and just in passing, I was talking to Brother Roy again about different things and Alaskan cruise and everything. And he said, you know, a lot of people do cruises, this, that, and the other. Charles Stanley does a Bible cruise. He has singing and he teaches the Word of God. He said, do you know he fills up 3 ships a year? And I said, why is that? He said, because he's so popular in teaching the Word of God. There's a real genuine hunger for people to get the Word of God. And you look at them across the great ministers that have lasted and endured. J. Vernon McGee has been in heaven a long time. I first met J. Vernon McGee in the early 70s down in Pensacola, down in Panama City, Florida. He had his first bout with cancer. And he was an old, old man then. And he's been in heaven now a long time. And Oliver B. Green, others. But their ministries have continued on. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. And you know what will build this church and your life, that you'll be consistent and faithful? It's the Word of God. You've got to saturate your soul with the Word of God. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And I knew God laid this on my heart, and I know it's not a run up and down shout and hoot and hollering message, but I hope it's getting in your heart. These God did a work in their heart, and they knew that what they needed more than anything else was the Word of God. And when they read it, God spoke to their heart, and it brought conviction. Notice what it says in chapter number 1 of Psalms. He said this, "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's the Word of God. Meditate in it day and night. I ask you just an honest question. Just be honest with yourself now. This is for your good, and it's for my good as well. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Greater Bible study. I want to challenge you to get back to reading the Word of God. We talk about days gone by and men of character, women of character. I remember there were just as many wicked people back there then per capita probably as are now. But those who knew the Lord had great character. They influenced this nation greatly by their life. And they didn't have a lot of distractions we have, but the Word of God was the one thing that they did reverence. They loved the Word of God. They read the Word of God. I remember my mother. My mother had a big old black Bible, and it stayed up on the head of her bed, and she read it. And she would sit in her rocking chair and just read the Word of God. And she saturated her soul. Was she perfect? No, she wasn't perfect. But she loved the Word of God. Loved the Word of God. And to put that in my heart. And Regina and I read the Bible to our kids when they were little. Even before they were born, we read the Word of God to them. Read the Word of God. And my mother told me sometime after our first daughter, Christy, died, that the last time Christy spent the night with her, she got up in her bed, and she wasn't even 3 years old. But she climbed up and she took Grandma's big old Bible and she pulled it down and it fell on the bed and she said, "Grandma, read me the Bible like my daddy does." If we'd read the Word of God, saturate not just to hear it, but to understand it and let the Holy Spirit of God get it in our heart. The Word of God, listen, they rejoiced in the Word of God. They received the Word of God. And my dear friend, they repented at the Word of God because the Word of God brings conviction. And it brings cleansing. Turn over in your Bible, please, to the book of Jeremiah. And I want to read in Jeremiah chapter number 15 and verse number 16. And listen to what he says in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." The Word of God brought joy and rejoicing to the prophet. And it'll do the same thing for you. It'll bring repentance. It'll bring joy. And you need to read it and receive it and accept it into your heart and into your life. Now, I ask you a question. How much do you desire the Word of God? They desired the Word of God. Look over in Psalm, Brad said something about Psalm 119. All of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. But let me get you to look at a couple of verses real quick, and we'll be through. Psalms 103. In Psalms 103, I want you to look at one verse here. Psalm 119, verse 103, rather. Psalm 119, verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I wonder if the Word of God to you is desirable and as delightful as food. You know, I love honey, and a lot of people know I like honey, and they give me honey from time to time, bring me honey from different places. And some of these places I go preach a lot of revivals, just about every time somebody give me some honey. And I love that honey and put it in coffee and different thing. But that honey, you know what the shelf life of honey is? You can pick up any jar of honey you want to. If it's real honey, you pick up mayonnaise, ketchup, anything else, there's an expiration date. But best used if by this date. You know what the expiration date of honey is? Never. The shelf life of honey is forever. Isn't that amazing? No factories, no preservatives, no chemicals, just a bunch of little bees that God gave wisdom, know how to make it. And the shelf life is forever. And he said, your word is sweeter than honey to me. It's just the sweetest thing I know. Do you feel that way about the Word of God? I don't think this is uncommon. I think this should be the normal. Vance Havner said one time, the average Christian is so subnormal, if it ever became normal, everybody would think they were abnormal. It's not abnormal for God's people to think the Word of God is sweeter than honey. And it's more important to them than their physical food is the Word of God. That is the normal. But we're so subnormal. If you go on in Psalm 119, verse 55, David said he treasures the Word of God more than sleep. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 72. Look back. It's right there close to you. Look at Psalms number 72. And notice Psalm 119, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is the Word of God more valuable to you than food? Is it more valuable to you than sleep? Is it more valuable to you than riches? It's the greatest treasure that you could ever have, the Word of God. It must be obeyed. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. Matthew Henry made this statement, holy joy will oil the wheels of obedience. When we hear the Word of God, we delight in it, and we delight to obey Him. We obey Him, hear the Word of God, and we obey Him from the heart. The Word of God does that. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. I was looking at some of the medications that the doctor wanted me to take, and don't ever read the all of it. Just skip where it says precautions or side effect. You better forget that. But it did say this about one of them. It said the full effect of this may not appear for 30 days. In other words, you start taking it today, but it really doesn't seem like it kicks in good to down the road. The Word of God goes into your heart. You may not see the effect of it that day, but it is long-term that you'll tell the difference. It's sweeter than honey. It's more valuable than sleep. It's more valuable than silver and gold. My dear friend, and it will affect your life. If you really want to have joy, fill your life with the Word of God. If you really want to have something real, you get in the Word of God and read the Word of God, and joy will give you that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. My dear friend, you can have it today. You can have it. The Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the Word of God. He's identified as the Word of God. And the Word became flesh, God's message to this world in the human form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is love, the Bible said. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and to give you everlasting life. Tonight, I'm going to share with you in John 17 about the greatest thing Jesus ever gave to Christians. The greatest thing God ever gave us. I hope you'll come back tonight at 6:30. But the Word of God, this Word of God in our heart, it affects us. It changes us. And I promise you this, from having been in the ministry all these years and a Christian for more years than that, that one of the more difficult things that you'll do is to spend time in the Word of God. The devil will fight you every way. Brother Avery Rogers used to tell me, he said, I have to fight. He was 82 years old. He said, I have to fight every day of my life for my Bible time. The devil don't want you to do it. He'll give you 10,000 reasons not to do it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm challenging you this month to get in the Word of God. It'll help you. It'll build you up. It'll give you that you'll need down the road, you're going to need it. You're going to need the Word of God like you've never needed it before. You'll need faith like you've never had before. You're going to need that ability to keep on going in spite of all the obstacles, because you're going to have plenty of them. You're going to have plenty of problems in your life. In the world, you will have tribulation. My dear friend, the Word of God gives us power. It gives us power to keep on. It gives us power to do what God would have us to do. I had written this down several years ago. God does not give us joy instead of sorrow. He does not give us joy instead of pain. He does not give us joy in spite of problems. He gives us joy in all those things. That's the truth. You're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. You're going to face it every day. But God can give you something from the Word of God that'll be joy unspeakable, inexplainable, and it comes only from the Word of God. I wish I could spend every day with you, because I just love to be around you. But hanging around a preacher or hanging around anybody else who's saved won't give you what you need. I love fellowship. I love singing. And if you sing the Word of God, it says, speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual song. If it's a good, strong, scriptural song, yeah, you can get some spiritual truth. But the truth of the matter is, the only thing that will sustain you, and the only thing that will bring you real lasting joy, and the only thing that the Word of God says assures you of good success and prosper, is the Word of God. Feed on it, live it, get it in your heart, understand it. Let the Holy Spirit of God help you. And he gave some pastors, teachers, evangelists for the work, perfecting of the sake for the work of ministry. That's part of the job of a preacher, but not the sole job of the preacher. It's your responsibility too. You study the Word of God. Saturate your soul with it. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. I'm through. God gave this people an unusual wisdom. They had a temple. They had a new wall around their city. But they knew that what they needed more than a building and more than a wall was the Word. We get so distracted from the Word of God. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're to feed on the Word of God. Let it dwell in us richly. Let it develop us and grow us. And I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, as I even preach to you, God, the Holy Ghost, God preaches to me. But I do know that we can all get so busy that we don't spend adequate time, not only in prayer, but in the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to discipline yourself. Ask God to help you to begin to read the Word of God. I challenge you the other first Sunday to pick out a book of the Bible that you can read in a sitting and read that book several times a day. You may want to start a systematic reading through the Psalms. Read some of the Psalms every day. It's a good thing to read Psalms and Proverbs. Read a Psalm and a Proverb every day. And do it on several occasions. Do it on break time at school, at work. Read it. Read a psalm. Saturate your soul. Listen to it in your automobile. Read the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, it is the wonderful words of life. Oh, that blessed shower, the water of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. I really didn't get into the cleansing of the Word this morning. All that had come for the months out. But not only is the Word of God, they will reverence it. And if we could, the Holy Ghost of God, get me and you this morning to once again reverence the Word of God, to respect it and desire it, the rest of it to come. Love it. Purpose in your heart right now before the Lord, every saint of God in here, I'm going to start reading the Word of God more. I'm going to go back to my devotionals. I'm going to read the Word of God several times a day, systematically. Just feed my soul with it. As much as I eat physically, I want to eat the Word of God. It's better than food, sweeter than honey. It's more important than my sleep. It's more valuable than any silver or gold. I mean, you just flat got to have it. We say little things that sound neat and cute, but there's a lot of truth to them. I've often heard people say, you find somebody with a Bible that's fallen apart, you'll find a life that's not. You get in that book, let it become your Bible, read it. You say, I don't understand it. The Holy Ghost of God will help you to understand it. You get it in your heart. If you were here Wednesday night, I don't understand how my body works. But I know if I eat, get that food in my system, the Holy Ghost of God will work in my body and to assimilate it and to distribute it where it needs to be. And He'll do the same thing for you through the Word of God. You need more faith, it's in the Word of God. Faith comes up by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need more encouragement, need more wisdom, direction, it's all in the Word of God. But the problem is we are anemic Christians, malnutrition. We don't feed on the Word of God. It ought to be a delight. It's a battle to get to it, but once we get in it, oh, how it blesses us.